My sister, Thelma, she's 65 years old. She's 65 years old and decided a few months ago to join a running club. Now, my sister's quite overweight. I was surprised. She never, ever talked about running before to me. Her son is a marathon runner, but she's never talked about running. She never ran that I know of throughout her life. And she decided that she was going to join this running club and started to run. We encouraged her, and she told us, we met for lunch with her a few months ago, just after she had joined, and she said, well, it's not too bad. She says, we started last week, and we ran a minute and walked a minute, and ran a minute and walked a minute. And she said, that wasn't too bad. I was a little slow, but I could do that. I could run for a minute and walk a minute. And then I talked to her this past Tuesday, and I had to phone her about something, and I'd seen that on Monday she'd been doing some running, and she told me, well, what happened was is that was the first week. The second week, we ran for 2 minutes and walked a minute. And then the third week, we ran for 3 minutes and walked a minute. And she said, I couldn't figure that out. Like, if we're running for 2 minutes, then we should walk for 2 minutes. If we're running for 3 minutes, we should walk for 3 minutes. Like, that was her thinking. And then the fourth week, they ran for 4 minutes and walked a minute. And she said, I finally clued in. They were adding a minute each week and not adding any walking time. Adding a minute to running each week and not any running time or walking time. So Thelma was, she did okay. She was always the slowest in the group, but she was doing okay. And they usually ran a loop. So they would run a loop and they would keep running the loop around and around no matter how long they were going. Except when I talked to her last Tuesday, she said on Monday they weren't running, the past Monday, they weren't running a loop. They were running 5 kilometers. And she was a little concerned before that Monday. 5 kilometers is a long way. She had a lot of things. She told me leading up, she struggled, wondering if she should run the 5 kilometers. She had lots of mountains in the way of that run. I mean, like I told you, she was overweight. And then she was always the slowest, so somebody always had to stay with her because they were running at night. So somebody would always stay with her, and she felt that she was holding them up. And she lives in Maple Ridge, and it rains there. Who wants to run in the rain? And, you know, it would have been easier just to say, you know, I'll just sit out this run. It wasn't a loop. It was a 5 kilometer, so you couldn't go like 2.5 kilometers, be at the bottom of the loop sort of thing and say, okay, I'll wait for the rest of you to get back after you finish your 5 kilometers. It would have been easier just to sit it out and that. But, you know, Thelma came to a place where she believed that she could run that 5 kilometers. And she saw those mental and physical mountains moved as the day approached for her to run that 5 kilometers. She finished that 5 kilometers in just under an hour. Now, that's long for a lot of people, but for my sister, that is amazing. She ran 5 kilometers. She completed it. She managed to see by faith all those mountains removed. And I said, so did you run? Cause at that time, they were running 10 minutes and walking 1 minute. And I said, so did you run 10 minutes and walk 1 minute? And she said, no, we ran and we stopped at traffic lights. And so she said, I said, oh, so you prayed that the traffic lights were red? Yes, and that the other lane had a turning signal too. But she did it. And I am so proud of my sister. So proud. She signed up for the group that starts in January. She's going to keep doing it. But we all face mountains in our lives. But through faith, those mountains can be removed. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 17, verses 20, the last half of 20 and 21. I tell you the truth. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing is impossible for you. If we have faith as small as a mustard seed, do you notice the comparison that Jesus is drawing here? The seed is tiny. And in the Bible it says it's one of the smallest, the mustard seed was one of the smallest seeds. And this is a picture of mustard seed here. And if we had faith as small as that, that small thing can move that mountain. Faith as small as a mustard seed can move the mountain. In other words, Jesus is stating a small amount of faith can overcome the biggest obstacles we face. That faith can move the mountains in our lives. Listen to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 and 26. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as greater value than the treasures of Egypt because he was looking ahead to his reward. How did Moses overcome sin? It says, by faith. By faith, Moses chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin. Not even to enjoy them for a long time, but to enjoy them for a short time. He wasn't interested in the pleasures of sin. Isn't sin the biggest mountain we face? Isn't that the biggest mountain we face in our lives? Paul states in Romans that each and every one of us has sinned, and the cost of sin is death or separation from God for eternity. That's a huge mountain to overcome. In Isaiah 59, verse 2, it reveals, But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Our sins, our iniquities have separated us from God. And then the psalmist wrote, no man can redeem the life of another or give to God a ransom for him. The ransom for life is costly. No payment is ever enough. Now there's a mountain for you that needs to be removed. Our sin separates us from God. So if we want any relationship with God, we need to remove that sin. Yet the Bible tells us that we can't pay for that sin. It's too costly. We can't pay it. As we look at these verses and many other verses, we see that sin becomes a mountain between us as sinners and achieving peace and forgiveness with God. There's only one way to remove the mountain from our lives, and that is through faith. When we read in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if we confess with our mouth and believe Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. See, it's by faith. If we believe, if we have faith that Jesus was crucified on the cross and that God raised him, that the Father raised him back to life, if we have faith, if we believe that, then our sins will be forgiven and we'll be made right with God and the mountain will be removed. The Bible tells us that faith takes our mountains of sins and removes them as far as the east is from the west. So if you draw a line between the east and the west, how far is that? It's an infinite distance if you just keep going east and west. Now, I'm not talking about going east and west around the globe. I'm just talking about going straight line, east and west. And then the Bible says that by faith that mountain is removed. It is removed and cast into the sea, into the depths of the sea. Wow. That faith removes the mountain of sin. It's removed as far as the east as the west, and it's cast into the sea. Having faith in what Jesus did on the cross, having faith that he was raised back to life, can move the mountain of sin that we face. Another mountain which we face in our lives is to leave the familiar, that which is common, with that which is comfortable to us. Hebrews chapter 11, 27, we read, by faith he, Moses, left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Moses grew up in Pharaoh's home. That's where he lived. He had the best clothes, the best food, the best training. He had it all. He could have any woman in the kingdom he wanted. He was known as Pharaoh's daughter's son. He was royalty. That was the security and the lifestyle that was familiar to Moses. That would be a lifestyle that would be hard to leave. There would be a huge mountain there to try and leave that. Yet by faith, Moses left all that and headed out into the desert to seek out a land that God had promised to Israel. By faith, Moses was able to move the mountain of the attachment to the familiar and the consequences that it all might have by leaving to do what God called him to do. Through faith, Moses saw he who was invisible. He saw God in the midst of it all. As he left all that familiarity, he saw God right there with him. I remember not long after I got saved, after I gave my life to Jesus, and I was walking with him a few months probably. I got saved December the 20th, 1980, probably in early 1981. I started to feel a pull into full-time ministry. Well, I didn't think that was a good idea. I was a machinist. This is what was familiar to me. I was a machinist. I was making $18 an hour back then. My house only had about two or three more years to be paid on, and I would have it paid off. So I started to bargain with God, saying, God, I'll have lots of money. I mean, I won't have a mortgage payment. I'm making $18 an hour. I've got it made. My house will be paid. My vehicles are paid. I've got it made. I could give lots of money to the kingdom of God. God had other plans. He wanted to move that mountain of familiarity in my life. He wanted to move me out of my comfort zone. He wasn't interested in my money. God's got more money than we can ever imagine, so we don't have to worry about that, those kind of things. He wanted me to move. He wanted to see the mountain of familiarity moved by myself stepping out in faith. God was in the midst of it all. He was there through it all as we stepped out in faith during those days, and we can tell you amazing stories of what happened. But God doesn't want us to remain in the familiarities, in the comfort zones. And I'm not suggesting here this morning that every one of you should sell your homes and truck off to Bible college and go into full-time ministry, unless God is telling you that. If God is telling you that, then that's what you should do. But it's easy to get caught up with the comforts of the familiar and not move into something God has called us to do. God might be calling us to help in Kids Zone, or to invite somebody to come to the Christmas banquet, or the Christmas Eve service, or the Alpha program, which we're going to start in January. That could be a big mountain in somebody's life. Just reaching out and saying, would you come with me to this activity? Could push us out of our comfort zone, out of our familiarity. But through faith, we can see our Heavenly Father is right there with us. Those things can be huge mountains, but through faith, we can see God remove them. So when God's pushing us out of our comfort zone, by faith, we can walk where He wants us to go. Sometimes doing the necessary can be a mountain as well. In Hebrews 11, 28, we read again, it states, by faith, he, Moses, kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. Moses knew that the Israelites, what the Israelites had to do to be safe during the final plague which Egypt would experience. He knew this because God had instructed him. They were to take the blood from the sacrifice and sprinkle it or paint it on the frame of the door, and they were to eat the Passover meal, which recognized God as the deliverer. It's interesting. These were necessary things they had to do. They were things they had to do if they wanted to remain in the nation of Israel. It was the things they had to do if they wanted to live. Because God was going to destroy the firstborn of every home that didn't have that painted, that blood painted over it. But that could be and been a huge task for everyone to sacrifice an animal, for everyone to take the blood and put it on the doorposts, for everyone to have a Passover meal. That could have been a huge mountain for the Israelite community and for Moses to even tell them. But it was necessary. And by faith, that mountain was removed. And Moses did what was necessary. Sometimes there are things which are necessary to do that we see as mountains. I mean, reading the Bible or praying on a daily basis might seem as a mountain. Our lives are so busy. Where do we have time to stop and read the Bible and spend time in prayer? We think we have more important and more pressing things to do. We are busy people. How about coming to church? That can be a hard thing. That can be a mountain sometimes because there's other things that get in the way. There's always something trying to call us to do something else. Here's a mountain that's necessary, but we don't like to talk about it. How about the giving of our tithes and offerings? God's word declares that all these things are necessary in our lives as Christians. They are all things which make us flourish and become who we need to become. And in the natural, I would agree that all these things can be mountains from time to time in our lives. Now, honestly, how many have woken up on a Sunday morning and thought, you know, I don't need to go to church today. I could just stay. This bed is so warm and comfy. We don't need to see a show of hands. We're good. I think the point's made. The mountain might be insurmountable. Some seem insurmountable. But by faith, God can remove those mountains one at a time. And we will do what is necessary. One last mountain I'd like to talk about. And that's those mountains that hold us captive. Egypt had held Israelites captive for years. The captivity had become a mountain in their lives. It seemed to have a stranglehold on them. They did not seem to see any light at the end of the tunnel, as it were. In fact, their days became just get up in the morning, go out and make bricks out of straw and mud for the Egyptians all day and try to make the quota that the Egyptians had placed upon them and come home and eat and sleep. It wasn't much of a life. Hebrews 11:29 declares, "By faith the people passed through the Red Sea on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned." As Israel was fleeing Egypt, the Egyptian army was right behind them. And as they were fleeing, they came to the Red Sea. They couldn't turn to the left or the right. And the Egyptian army was closing in on them. And as flat as that Red Sea might have been, it was a huge mountain for them at that moment. A mountain that stood in the way of their freedom, in the way of their deliverance. The Egyptian army was closing in. But again, by faith, the mountain which held them captive was removed. As they entered the Red Sea, it parted, and they walked across on dry ground. So the first thing that happened was the Red Sea parted, and they could go through. But you know, that Egyptian army didn't give up. They kept going and going and going and coming, and they got closer and closer. And as Israel came out of the other side of the Red Sea on dry ground, God lifted his hand and let the waters close in and stop the captive army. Those mountains in our lives that keep us captive could be emotions, fears, finances, jobs, relationships, or anything else. We can just fill in the blank. I'm sure each one of us can say, this is the mountain in my life. By faith, we can see those mountains removed. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoner and recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoner, freedom to those who are facing mountains, who are captive. I'm not trying to make light of those things which hold us prisoners. I'm not trying to say they're easy and just simply pray and they're gone. I'm not trying to make light of them. They're hard. They're devastating. I could tell you story after story of people I've counseled and worked with that have gone through devastating circumstances. But I can also tell you story after story, account after account of people I've worked with and talked with and people I've heard of that have been set free because of their faith that has removed the mountain. I can tell you stories of addicts that are set free, that are business owners today, and 30 years ago, they were stuck in addiction, and they were alcoholics, and they'd lost their driver's license forever. The government said 3 strikes and you were out. They had 3 impaired driving charges. They would never drive again. And today they own a mechanic shop and he has a driver's license because he put his faith in Jesus. I can tell you about people who have been delivered from illnesses and diseases. I could keep you here a long time telling you how the people who put their faith in Jesus. I can tell you about a lady who had fibromyalgia and we prayed for her. She fell in a heap on the floor and got up and she was freed from her fibromyalgia only because she put her faith in Jesus. What is the mountain in our lives? It might not always be removed instantaneous, but the mountains can and will be removed at some point. I could tell you over and over again of the stories. I love to tell the stories of people who've been set free, the captives who've been set free. As we have faith in Jesus and do what he asks, we can see the mountain of captivity removed. We all face mountains in our lives. They stop us from reaching the destination of who the Father wants us to be and what he wants us to do. Those mountains, they hinder us. They're too high to get over, too wide to get around, and they hinder us. But the truth is, the Father has given us all a measure of faith. The Bible says we all have a measure of faith. Everyone in the entire world, even those who don't believe they have faith, have a measure of faith. We all have faith. And if we place that faith in Jesus, the mountains can be removed. The mountains can be removed. So what mountains do you want Jesus to move in your life? Maybe you're here today and you've never really thought about the mountain of sin and how it separates you from the Father. And you want that relationship. As we've talked, you've seen that. Please, come and talk to me or talk to somebody else that you know has that strong relationship with Jesus. And they will share with you and pray with you. And you can overcome that mountain with faith. If you have other mountains in your lives, come and see me. I'll be here, right here, after the service. If you want prayer, please come and see me. I'll pray for you. Let's pray right now. Father, we thank you that you are the mountain remover. I think of those big, huge dump trucks, those earth movers, and how big they are and how long it takes them to remove a mountain. Yet you're the God who removed the mountain of sin in a moment of time. You're the God who touches our lives. And as we are obedient in faith and obedient to your word, you will remove the mountains as we place them at your feet. Thank you, Father, for doing that for us. We believe in Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit. We believe in the mountain movers. Fill our lives, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.